December 13, 2021. It's a lot from Pedro's show.
Yeah, it could be. I thought it like that too. I said, well, it could be a real drag for Cash Corea if he figures this is something that he won't be able to cope with and he won't be able to write about, you see. And if he can't write about it, he can't make a living at this. And then I realized that, so I quieted down. I wouldn't allow myself to become too hostile back, you know, in return. Although there was a time I was kind of froze up on the people that downbeat. I froze because, I don't know, I felt that that was something that it wasn't. I felt that they were letting their weakness direct their actions, which I didn't feel it should have.
Happy Monday, people. Start off the show with John Coltrane talking to Frank Kosky in November 66 about some writers at Downbeat were not down with his new music, and he wanted to talk it out, and he didn't want to do that. That's that fucking bullshit. And then we had Cheryl Leonard, although he said he didn't want to get too upset. You notice he laughs at the end there, so fuck. Cheryl Leonard after that with Muff, and maybe you could hear that I am not man alone because of those Skype engineers and from Estonia with their Skype, their software engineers with their Skype invention.
Yay, Estonia.
Yeah, really. Raymond Pettibone, half Estonia. Anyway, we got Cheryl Leonard with us. Welcome aboard, Cheryl.
Welcome. Greetings from San Francisco.
Yeah, and we got to give big credit for the connect, Tom Dill. Thank you so much for being a hubster, Brother Tom. Okay, really interested in your journey with music. You know, you're part of this adventurous kind of stuff that people like Tom and Brutal Sound Effects Crew.
Yeah, those guys.
Brother Nace, Evan Lipson, bassman, all over, Mike Baghetta. Anyway, particular you, so please bring your earliest musical recollection that you still clung to.
Yes, so I've ended up in a very weird place, but I started out in a very conventional place musically. I think my earliest musical memory is my mom playing like John Denver records. I especially remember Grandma's feather bed.
Okay. Like you were sitting on that bed listening?
No, that was the song.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not too sharp on my, that's right.
You're not up on your John Denver?
Well, a little bit. It's been a few years. By the way, that was pilot air, right? He didn't put enough gas in the fucking plane.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Experimental.
You don't need a license for those things because they spur innovation and help cull the herd, I guess. Nothing but good thoughts about him, though. But you know, when I finally got to play in China, and one of the old rock and rollers there, he said the first music they got from over here was kind of rock and roll. It was John Denver. I was like, whoa, okay.
Do we call that rock and roll? I'm not sure.
Well, for them, because they didn't have anything, right? So
yeah, so I grew up in rural Wisconsin, so I just did not have the chance to be exposed to much at all experimental until I got to college.
Well, what about that pad in Wisconsin? Was there any musical instruments?
Yeah, my mom played the piano, so I played the piano starting in second grade. And then I also...
Let me ask you about that. Was it like the piano teacher thing?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Now, I've had people on this show that almost wanted to quit music because of that experience. How was your experience?
It was okay. I mean, my teacher was kind. I just wasn't very dedicated to practicing. And the issue was I didn't like the music they gave me. So I would only practice the songs I liked, which were like the ones in minor. And then I preferred to just write my own songs.
Wow, you were writing at that age? Second grade?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't brilliant.
You weren't a Mozart thing. Your mom would have been working you like his daddy, right? Like a dog and pony show. You know, in a way, that's probably better, right? Can you imagine having your parents do a Disney mom on you or something with the piano? So,
yeah, no thanks.
But you think it matters a lot on the teacher, huh? But also the student. But the student is a child and she's still finding herself.
Yeah, I mean, I was very shy, and so I didn't like performing at the recitals, but I did like being the only person in the house and then like playing really loudly when no one was home.
Oh, wow. Yeah, like just banging on them. They used to be in the rhythm section, right? Percussion. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band?
I did all of that. I did all of it.
Now, you didn't fucking work the piano in the marching band. What about instrument?
No, when I got to junior high school, you got to pick an instrument, and I wanted to play the saxophone, but they wouldn't let me because I had braces, so I had to play the flute.
Okay. And did you like it?
It was all right. Okay. I think I just liked music, and so it didn't really matter so much what the instrument was at the time.
Well, then wind ones, you know, the thing with the finger ones, not as easy to get head rushes. You know, when you're always having to blow air out, man, especially as a kid, I can imagine, and marching around in the sun and... Or the fairness, maybe it's good where in Wisconsin. You know, I'm always thinking of those big wool suits. You see my buddies. I never had to do it, but, man, I can imagine. But maybe in Wisconsin probably helped. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it was one of those, like, record clubs where you got, you know, 12 records for $1 or something.
Like, yeah, for a dime, Columbia House.
Yeah, yeah, it probably was that. So there were probably 12 records. Right.
And then they keep sending them to you. If you don't send them back, you have to buy them.
Right, right. And so it was probably, I mean, I remember I had a Duran Duran record. And probably whatever else was on the radio at that time, you know, in the late 80s.
Matt Taggart was talking about Duran Duran, and I told him I met John Taylor, the bass man. Tall guy, taller than what? And a very good bass man, a very nice man. It was at a Jonathan Lethem book release, and I guess Jonathan had invited two bass player friends that didn't know each other before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, a lot of those things, it's a situation, right? It's just who's happening in the charts at that time and such. I don't know if there's, you know what I mean? You're because you're still finding yourself and stuff.
Oh, and I just, you know, I mean, I heard what was on the radio on the school bus. So, like, whatever the bus driver picked, you know.
Okay, okay. And he might, or she might be thinking, man, maybe I should play something the kids might like, you know.
Right.
Who knows what, you know, everybody's being nice and thinking for each other. What about first gig you saw?
The first gig I saw, I think it was some kind of stadium rock. It could have been, it might have been Van Halen.
Right.
I remember camping out for Van Halen tickets in early high school.
Okay.
But I didn't know any of the hip stuff until I got off to college.
Okay, but before that, you're still in grade school or junior high or high school. In the afternoons, did you do basement band, bedroom band, garage band with your friends?
Yeah, so once I discovered rock and roll, I decided I wanted to be a guitarist. So I saved up my money, and when I was 16, I bought my first guitar, and then I just started a band.
Okay, wow, wow. And what kind of guitar did you get?
I had a Kramer Pacer Deluxe.
Okay,
I still have
guitar.
It in my closet, yeah.
An electric guitar, okay. There's a lot of people's first guitar acoustics, and they're wondering why it don't sound like the rock and roll record. By the way, rock and roll actually comes from the piano, but it's not as transportable. But it is piano music. Actually, it's boogie-woogie and R&B music from 80
years
ago.
Yeah, that's
don't
true.
Tell anybody.
And then if you go back, it's probably...
They just put another name on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Word for sex, right? Thank you, Alan Freed. Okay, you know, some marketing angle. And then the next one was even more egregious. Genre. Ugh. So,
oh, yeah,
maybe
yeah.
This was the beginning of it. Because actually, you can listen to old records and you can hear the fundamental rock and roll. And it's on the piano. Boogie-woogie bass lines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Usually major against minor right hand. Or ambiguous right fourths kind of things. Bang, 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 bang. Chip Mr. Chuck Berry. By the way, his songs were written by his guitar man. That's why I don't know if you ever tried to play to his records, but man, why is everything flat? Right, flat and B flat, yeah.
Okay. Right, that makes sense.
Okay,
uh-huh.
So you make the band. You don't join a band. And what is this band? Does it have a name?
I don't remember our name. I just remember, like, posting wanted ads and, like, trying to find anyone to play with. And then I remember practicing in my driveway
outside?
In rural Wisconsin. Whoa. Outside, I lived surrounded by farms. And the cows would come up to the fence and, like, watch us play.
But, oh, so it's an us. People did answer the ads.
People did answer the ads. I got a couple of guys that were, like, college students to join my band.
Wow. So was it, a power trio?
I think we had drums, bass, guitar, and vocalists would come in and out.
Four piece.
A four piece, yeah.
But you were running the show. And what was the material? Original?
No, it was just easy covers.
Copying off records, yeah. That's how
super easy covers to start, yeah.
You gave me this tune, Watershed. Well, you gave me a lot of excerpts. Should have gave me the whole enchiladas, but...
Oh, they're
okay. That's okay. They're probably long, right? But I would have loved them anyway. I want to play this Watershed. You know, Dave Grohl, when he did that Foo Fight, he had a song on there. Because, you know, he played everything on his first record. And he put another T in the Watershed when I came over there to practice.
Nice.
Yeah. Kind of deep.
Treacherous Jaywalk Talk, recorded two-track at Quinn's house, November 11th, 1984. Personnel J.J. Abdullah on drums, Quinn Haber on guitar, Josh Hayden on bass.
This is it. This song is called Treacherous Jaywalk.
Just splash your blood on the canvas. You guys, oh, that's it. So well, society is old. Just a splash, blood on the canvas, cute dancing, romance and this reality. Just a splash of blood on the canvas, and romance and this reality. Keep it up, keep it high, soul up. Every single. Just splash. We go.
Conversation, but peace and love is a famous generation. What's in your head is really started showing. Your conversation's getting kind of boring. Can't believe nothing you say. read what you do, you know ya. Yeah, then a mosquito's fleeter. You got a mouth like a herd of boll weavers. Same old game, same old game, same old thing. You never change. Same old game, same old thing. Always rapping about the same old thing. Thank you.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Shel Leonard with Watershed, an excerpt from Watershed. Then Trinary System, just like that. Trinary System is the band that Roger Miller put together after the redone Hell Freezes Over 12-year rejuvenation of Mission Burma. And then Sly and Robbie, because we lost Brother Robbie, right? Shakespeare, incredible bass man. Ride Nice. Yeah. Usually, yeah, it's usually west, right? You set the setting sun. Yeah, well, it fucks up everything. And my heart was there, Brother Robbie. Yeah. Kato Hideki with the brand new record, and this is Fatigue. And then Treacherous Jaywalkers with Treacherous Jaywalk. This is Charlie Hayden's son, Jay. Josh. Jay Walker, Josh Walker, yeah. And, yeah, he asked me to produce his record a couple of years after his practice, or maybe it was during that year, somewhere then. But I remember he's 16 or something. And he just flowed me this practice. Model Home, they got a brand new album. Splash on the Canvas, Bogdan Rosinski, Nowhere Stare Alive material. And then an ensemble here. Let's see, Romus, Koshkinen, Life's Blood Ensemble with True Finders. Well, you're going to have to enlighten us to that. Well, maybe it's further in the thing. You graduate high school, and you want to pursue music to higher education?
I did. I wanted to get out of Wisconsin. So I was like, I have to go to a coast.
Okay.
So I want to go
to the coast of one of the Great Lakes.
One of the coasts. Yeah. No, one of the
ocean
coasts.
Yeah.
An ocean. Yeah.
Because those lakes, especially Superior, right? And you can't even see the other side. I mean,
they are big. Yeah. So I went to Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Right. Jay Maskus.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I got
to play there. In fact,
yeah.
Kirsten popped my knee out doing a dog pile when we were doing a Blue Oyster Cult song, the first Fire Hose tour. They couldn't see through my Levi. They didn't know I had fucked up knees.
Where did you play in Amherst?
At Hampshire College.
You did? Oh.
I wouldn't shit you. Unless the Alzheimer won again. I think it was. I remember there was a bunch of schools there, you know, Smith and... but no, they're next door in Northampton. Hampshire is Amherst.
Yeah, so when I went to Hampshire is when I learned about, like, the rest of the musical world.
Okay.
So I was like, well, going into college, my goal was I'm going to write a rock opera in college, which I never did. But
you were going to study composition?
I was going to study composition, and I wanted to keep it sort of in the rock and roll.
Sure.
Vein of things. But then I had my mind completely blown. Like, it was like, oh, here's Stravinsky, and here's, like, weird electronic music, and, you know, here's indie rock, and here's punk rock, and goth music, and speed metal, and I was like, whoa, maybe I'd rather do one of these things.
Maybe music's just music, right? You know what I mean? It's so weird. It's like, what, you only go to talk to people, speak a certain way? I guess they're not mean to you, but just this whole genre thing, because I see it leading to stuff like prejudice and stuff. And so you start hating things without even hearing it because it's got the wrong tag
label.
Or some.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, back to your journey. So you're finding out you just don't want to make a rock opera, but maybe you want to make an opera out of whatever, music.
I'm just like, wow, I had no idea these things existed. And they're really cool.
The bus driver never played them.
The bus driver never played these things in Wisconsin.
So important, people, if you're driving the bus, educate your riders.
That's right. To expand their musical horizons. Yeah.
So what do you do?
Well, I was studying music, you know, like modern classical music. And I didn't really study jazz. At the same time, I was still playing guitar, and I started some bands, and I was part of this group called the Alternative Music Collective that was booking shows at Hampshire. So it may have been them that booked you when you played there.
This was in 86. It was actually a Sonic Youth gig, and we were opening up, right?
Yeah, so that was a little before my time, but I was there starting in 87.
Okay.
Just missed you.
Just missed us. Anyway, that was a trippy tour. It was a hard time for me. You know, I just lost D. Boone, and that was rough. That was rough. And a lot of help from Ed from Ohio and Georgie on the drums, of course, and then the Sonic guys. First got me playing again. I didn't think anybody wanted to hear me play bass with D. Boone gone. So these bands that you made, does the school have resources? Were you able to record?
No, we didn't really. We did record, but not because the school had resources. We just had a cassette 4-track, and we would use the rehearsal spaces at the school. But
you use those. And then you also said there were some gigs booked, so there's kind of performance places.
Yeah, we played like little gigs, like little clubs, and
not on the school, like coffee house or something.
I think we played at the coffee house once. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And but how's your mind changed? Like, I'm going to be a guitarist, or am I going to be a composer, or am I going to be both?
Yeah, I kind of wanted to be both at the time.
So your piano skills were still valuable, right?
I was using the piano to compose.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not really performing on piano.
No, but I understand that. Charlie Mingus, right, never wrote on the bass.
Yeah, well.
I actually think that's the future of the bass, use it as a composition tool.
Because you can use any instrument as a
composition tool. I know, but when you use a bass, you know, you leave a lot of room. There's a lot of harmonic content in pianos and guitars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the bass, not so much. So your collaborators have a little more freedom.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right. You could use a fucking yardstick upside the head, right? But,
Someone's probably done that.
Okay. So now some of these compositions probably were assignments.
I mean, not the stuff I gave you. Cause
No, of course.
yeah, some compositions were assignments. And then because Hampshire was kind of an alternative school, they didn't have normal required classes.
I hate that N-word.
they let you do projects. So my like main projects were big compositions.
Okay.
And so I wrote things for like string quartet and string quartet plus percussion, and I think there was some voice things as well.
And were they all like isolated little individual pieces, or were you trying to bring them together into one big enchilada?
I didn't really make the rock opera thing.
I understand that, but I'm
fairly long pieces, yeah.
Okay. And do you have those still? I know you didn't give me any, but do you have them just to maybe laugh?
I do. I have the recordings, and I have the scores, like painstakingly hand-copied out.
Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah, because it's a time before the software and all that.
Software was just getting going, yeah.
Yeah, what's it called? Finale, syllabus, something, stuff like that. Somebody was talking about using that stuff, and you got to canonize your stuff, right? Bring it into the canon.
Yeah.
In the old days, that was the only way because there was no audio recordings. So
you had to write it, yeah.
So you get your degree, and then what's next?
Yeah, I got this degree in music, and I was like, what do I do now? I need a job. So I moved to San Francisco totally on a whim. I had no plan. I just moved here because my friend of mine was moving here. We're like, let's go to California. Never been there. Let's move there. All right.
You know what? Let's pull the plug right there because I'm an idiot. Didn't notice we're at the end of the first hour, December 13, 2020. Just what Peter said. Special guest, Cheryl Leonard. Hold tight for hour two. December 13, 2021. It's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lot from Pedro, so we start off the second hour with Euphotic doing echolocution. And then Bama's playing with Tryptophantom, Dreka, HTFC, and then Accept Cheryl Leonard, Frozen Over. Oh, no. It's an excerpt.
Not excerpt. Yeah, I fucking forgot the person.
Okay, pilot error again. That's Cheryl Leonard with an excerpt from her piece, Frozen Over. So let's pick up where we left off last hour. You make it to San Francisco with your buddy on a whim.
Yeah, California. Here we come. And so at the time I was like, yeah, I'm going to start a band. So I found some people to play like indie rock, Sonic Youth-ish stuff out here. I'm still playing the guitar, still writing my own music. Got some bad jobs, day jobs, working at a bakery, you know.
Tom Watson did that. My guitarist in Instrument when he moved up there, but maybe around the same. No, it was earlier, middle age.
You do what you got to do,
right?
You got
to right to service this, dream, music, dream. Now, this music you were composing.
Yes. It was very dissonant, sort of. Very Sonic Youth influence.
Oh, so you were performing. It wasn't like the composed stuff stays just woman alone, and then you have stuff for the gigs. You're actually using your compositions in the gigs.
Yeah, I'm writing for the band, or we're writing together. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, was there a name for this band?
The band had a couple of different names. I think it ended up being Gus for a while.
Because I didn't get any Gus music from you.
Yeah, it's probably not worth sharing.
Okay. You can protect the innocent. And, do you remember the first gigs playing in San Francisco? Was it different than playing in Hampshire?
Yeah, it was harder to get gigs in the big city, for sure.
Right.
I think we played the Peacock Lounge at some point, down in the Lower Haight.
Sure. I used to play up on the Hate I-Beam, right? They'd let the punk rockers play on Mondays.
Oh, right, the I-Beam, yeah. And then there was some place on Divisadero. We didn't play there, but there was a club people played.
It was called the VIS Club, and it changed into Justice League. And so, you know, the Church of St. John Coltrane was a couple of blocks
away.
And a great rib place called Brother-in-Law's Number 2. Both no more. We're not the same. And then they knocked off that club was only a one... It was a trippy club. It had all these velvet paintings of all these soul singers and David Bowie, of course. And, but so they knock off the overhead. They made it way higher. And a couple of years ago, I get to open for X there.
Nice.
So, how long does this last?
Oh, the band thing? Yeah. It sort of fell apart when I got sick of working bad jobs and decided to go to graduate school. So I went to Mills College for my master's, and that's kind of when the band thing ended, and I got more into composition and sort of free improv and the noise scene and all that.
Yeah. You know, they saved that school. It was going to go under, right?
Yeah, it got bought up by Northeastern, but it sort of remains to be seen what's going to happen with the music department.
Okay. I hope that doesn't get flushed down the dumpster, man. I mean.
So much history, yeah.
Yeah. It's just, what a resource, especially for the shifts that are going to come on board, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People get too short-sighted sometimes. Anyway, I don't mean to bellyache and stuff. So, and there, you probably meet a bunch of like-minded pioneering music people, right?
I did. That's where I met Tom Dill. We were both in grad school at the same time.
And he was doing the trumpet, right?
He was doing trumpet and electronics,
right?
And I was doing composition and some electronic music, and I studied with Alvin Curran.
Ah.
And who else was there? Chris Brown and Maggie Payne.
Oh, okay. See, that's something that people don't realize. You know, the cultures, right? The connects. It's not just about getting the. Like you said, the degree and stuff. But if
it's not even at all about getting the degree.
Right.
It's about meeting people and learning stuff and expanding your mind and making these connections. Yeah.
Maybe, if you're fortunate, you do that a little for them, too.
Yeah, definitely. Like when I teach now, I'm totally inspired by my students.
Oh, well, there's something Buddha says something about that, right? You stop teaching, you stop learning. Like the students end up teaching you or some shit. Or, well, maybe I got it wrong, but there's some kind of dynamic.
No, it's definitely it's not things so much you learn from your students. Yeah, it goes both ways, I think.
Right. Especially if you're open-minded.
And I should call it every day. Yeah, I should call it every day. And I should call it every day. I should call in every way.
Thank you.
Siren Songs. You gave me another excerpt. Let's listen. Walk for Pedro Show at Chunk of Music stars Cheryl Leonard doing an excerpt from a Siren Song. Speaking of Siren, right? Roxy Music covered Jerry Hall. I saw a picture of Jerry Hall with Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, whoa.
What's that, Marlon Brando at the end of that movie, right? The horror. I guess he saved the movie. They didn't know how to fucking end it, right? So he just read, there was a ride, he wouldn't talk to Dennis Hopper because he said something about it. You got to read the book. We used the fucking line from the book to finish it. Those, right? They didn't know how to end it. Give me that bowl, right? I washes his head so he can cut his head off. Okay. Cedric Noel from his new album, Born, is this tune. Lost in Eggtown. Journal d'un jeune homme. I think a diary of a young man. Maybe I'll fuck that up too. My apologies, pardon to the French people. Ray Shin with the Dominance Hierarchy, things that we're very much against. And Cheryl Leonard finally with Not an Excerpt, People. Ablation Zone.
Ablation Zone, yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
Okay. You know what? Let's talk about some of these, you know, especially the ones that have names like the Life's Blood, the Ramus Koskinen Blood Ensemble, or Euphotic.
So the Life's Blood Ensemble is really a project put together by Rhett Romus and Heikki Koskinen, which is a sort of an experimental jazz / improv group based on Finnish mythology, about the underworld in Finnish mythology. So I was brought on board to add some of the weirder sounds. It was a real treat for me because I don't normally play more in the jazz genre. So what a treat to get to play with all these fabulous musicians. And I'm up there just playing my like amplified rocks and an instrument called spiny, which is made out of driftwood, sort of doing the... It's almost like Foley work, but musical Foley work.
Foley people is like sounds for films and TV. That kid,
yeah.
The lady who played bass in Black Flag, she's got some Oscars for this stuff and Emmy Awards for this. Foley was very important, especially in the radio days. Oh, my God, but still important.
Very important, yeah. Yeah, so what I play these days is I play these instruments that I've built out of natural objects.
And this is what I was going to ask about spiny, because I don't remember seeing one in the Shithard Center last time I was there.
Right? Spiny's not in the normal orchestra, yeah.
Oh, is that N-word? So probably nobody, is it your personal invention?
Yeah, it's literally a large piece of driftwood with many thin sticks of driftwood sticking out of it. And then I put contact mics on it, and I can bow or brush or tap each individual stick. And they're almost like strings, right?
The sticks are like the spikes?
Yeah, thin sticks.
They're coming out of the big piece of driftwood, right?
Yeah. So if you imagine each stick kind of like a vibrating string, sure, on a guitar, cello, or something, you can get harmonics, you can do slides.
Depending on their length?
Yeah, and where you bow it, and if you sort of stop the vibration somewhere.
Wow, trippy. What gave you the idea, the inspiration? Walking in by the water?
I was playing, you know, I was composing for normal instruments for a long time, and then I got interested in extended techniques on normal instruments, so making, you know, multiphonics on reeds or bowing other parts of the instrument on a violin, things like that.
Oh, okay.
At the same time, I became involved in the noise scene in the Bay Area. And so
brutal,
I was
brutal sound effects group.
Those kind of folks, yeah.
Right.
And we would just literally, like, we used to have these junk nights here in San Francisco. Everyone would put their junk on the street, and then the city would collect it. And you would go out at night, and you'd collect just objects you thought would be fun to play. And then we would put microphones on them.
You'd have to repurpose them, right? You know, like contact mics and that stuff.
So
they would be the beginnings of a new instrument.
Yeah, just
people's
found
junk, people's stuff that's being thrown away. I love that, repurposed.
Yeah, it was before bed bugs were really a thing here, so
No, I'm thinking more altruistic, like swords into plowshares and shit like that. Not bed bug spreaders. We're at the end of the second hour, December 13, 2021. Just Swap Pedo Show special guest, Shell Letter. Hold tight, hour three. December 13, 2021. It's the third hour. A lot from Pedo Show.
Oh.
Pedro Show. Start off the third hour. Cheryl Leonard, and we're not an excerpt, people. The longest and shortest days.
I guess you get a medium day.
In between. No. It's her piece, people. Only what? Superimpose some bullshit on. Klein Quartet, that's Scotty Irvin with Live at the International Noise Conference, February 9, 2017, part 2 of 2. Scotty Irvin out of North Carolina. Great cat. I got to collab with him. He says he's going to make this into an album with Makoto Kawabata. And then Euphotic with Sofo Lobos. And we didn't get to Euphotic.
Oh, we didn't, yeah, but we were still talking about how I got to playing things called Spiny.
Right. Part of that, the Life's Blood Unsolved.
Yeah, I think Spiny also got played in Euphotic, too, so.
Okay. But is Euphotic your baby or another thing you joined?
It's really it's a trio. It's a collaboration. It's Tom Dill, Brian Day, and myself.
Oh wow! Both them guys were on the show.
I know. Yeah. How cool.
Great. Got a trifecta. Yes.
Yeah. So that group is we just do free improv. We once said this is the most structure we've ever had. Let's try to do a piece that starts with a drone.
Okay. Well, speaking of drones, Brian Day said he was going to make me, because I told him I was trying to use this E-bow and they're made for guitar. He goes, I can make you one for a bass. What?
Oh, he probably can. He's very good at that, those kinds of things.
It's like Victoria Shen, right? She got a job building synthesizers, so she started building her own. You're more of the, maybe not as electronic, the Spiny doesn't sound electronic except for maybe the contact mics.
Yeah, Spiny is all natural.
Right.
I have studied electronics. I do know some of that stuff. But I got more interested in the natural stuff.
Yeah.
Because at the same time I was getting into just playing junk from the street,
yeah,
I got really into like backpacking and mountain climbing,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So I would be out on a hike and I'd kick a rock and I'd be like, oh, that sounds really good. Maybe I should take that home and play it.
I know just what you mean, Cheryl. You know, because we're in our cars and shit. When I got on a bicycle, because I didn't ride one for 22 years, right? I started to listen.
And you can hear.
Birds,
yeah.
Though, you know, Pedro's by the ocean right in the harbor. So I could hear, the surf. I could hear even the chain of the bicycle. All these things. And they all got their own rhythms and their own, and they're not straight rhythms usually, especially the natural ones. They swell, they pull, they drag, it's really intense. And it just opened up a whole other thing for me. So, people, you got to understand it. Just putting yourself in another place might start a whole new fundamental for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's so important to listen. And our urban worlds are so full of motors and engines and just so much noise that you can't hear the, all the other stuff. And when it's revealed, like during the pandemic, when things were quieter for a little while, it's amazing, right? Like I realized that my neighbor has like pet pigeons and I've lived here for 25 years and I never heard them before.
Because the little coos.
No, yeah, I heard
the
them.
Coos, yeah.
Like what? I had no idea.
Yeah. There was a band from the city up there in the early '80s called Black Humor, and one of the lines, one of their tunes, was like, "The only thing new is you finding out about it."
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know what I mean? And we are. There's so much stuff gets masked by superficial shit, and it took some backpacking.
So I started exploring the possibilities of playing amplified natural objects as musical instruments.
Okay.
And it was kind of a whim at first,
yeah,
and then it's become the major focus of my work. over like the last 20 years. So it's kind of crazy where life will take you.
Absolutely. You gave me another excerpt here. Burt Procession. And this is also another collab. It looks like Anka?
Anka Dragalatis.
Anka is a Slav. We got a, yeah, but it's also Slav. We got a lot of Croatians here, and I worked with a lady named Anka.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's maybe 50 years ago, right? I was a teenager. Let's listen.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Uncle Dragalat Lattes and Cheryl Leonard with Burt Procession. The next. Then a man, Demon. No, Manu. Fuck what? Manu Dibango. Great saxophone man from the 70s, Africa. And New Bell. Sam Locke Award featuring Bob Bucko with Winds of Betrayal. Dolene Karest with Incolé. And then finally, another excerpt. Finally. Cheryl Leonard. Schism. It's all human endeavor ends up. All that teamwork to get some more schism going. No. Enlighten me to this first collab.
With Anka?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so Anka is a vocalist, and she also plays found objects, and she's in Bavaria in Germany. And we were sort of musically match made. And we had a musical matchmaker who hooked us up. We both did a residency at Jurassic Artist Residency Program, and the director there was like, you guys would like each other. You should meet. And so we did, and we became friends, and now we've done an album together.
Okay, so this was like a collab engineered by somebody else.
I've
been put in situations like that, and at first you're like, oh, my God, but then, like, whoa, I'm so glad. Because you would have never put it together, right? Because
we would have never met.
That's right. Yeah. So people, keep your thing open. And then the Schism?
Schism is off my latest album that just came out in June on MAPPA. And this is a piece that combines sounds recorded from my old laptop using an inductor coil microphone. And I was listening to the laptop, and it sounded like insects and birds and natural sounds to me. And so I had this idea to mix actual sounds from birds and insects with the sounds from the computer.
Ah,
and sort of play with that line between the technology and the natural.
Right, right. The dangling duality. You know, you mentioned something about teaching. That's what you got into as far as service in your lifestyle. Terrible way to put it.
Service. It is a service.
Somebody once told me, how do you service a lifestyle? And I was like, yeah, okay. You know, the landlord is our collector. He likes those little green paintings, you know.
He does. Or she, in my case. Does. Yeah, I teach piano to children, and I also teach.
Oh, my God. From the beginning of the show, I put you on the out there. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
No, it's just so funny because I never thought I'd teach piano, but I was installing satellite dishes for work, which was okay. Kind of fun, but kind of horrible. And I just had to stop doing that. And I saw an advertisement for piano teacher, and I was like, oh, I could probably do that.
Yeah. I invested in some training many years ago.
Yeah, maybe that would be safer than like falling off people's roofs and getting stuck in
cars. Yeah, Jesus. Okay. But, and it's kind of flexible. Maybe it suits
it's the very music. Flexible. Yeah, the it's music thing quite, that you're doing. Quite a good fit because you can take time off and you can reschedule lessons.
Right. What do you got? And you said you just made a record? Are you working on new music now?
Yeah, I've got two albums that, one I'm just wrapping up. I'm reviewing the masters like this week, which will be an album of music from my trip to Antarctica. Which will be coming out on Other Minds Records early next year.
Okay. And where can people find you on the internet? Do you have your own website?
I have a website. It's allwaysnorth.com, and it's all with two L's.
Allwaysnorth. Ah, okay.
North.
Waves. What? Heard waves.
Oh.
Okay. WAYS, people. NORTH.com.
Right. Like if you were standing at the South Pole, all directions would be north for you. That was the idea.
Right. Great logic. And Henry Kaiser. But he did it, skin diving stuff. Helped her, Werner Herzog, with some documentary thing. And I have another friend of mine, Jay Fox, did some work there. He even did a screening of We Jam Econo there at the little base camp.
Nice.
One day I was, you've been there, right?
Yeah, I got a grant from the National Science Foundation, the same grant that Henry got and Herzog did.
Wow, that's the whole world, fuck.
Not with them, but...
No, I understand, still connected in a way.
So I got to spend about a month at Palmer Research Station on the peninsula.
And also you said you had another record coming. And so when you get because we're out of time here, but when you get this stuff, will you come back on the show and we can listen? And no excerpts, please.
Okay, yes, I'd love to come back.
The whole enchiladas, okay?
Sure.
Thank you so much. Very inspiring. Your journey, your story of your music journey, incredible. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you,
Brother Tom Dale, for making that connect. And you too, Brian Day, for being part of the fucking euphotic power trio. People, it's been December 13, 2021. Just watch Pedro, so keep your powder dry.